in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to St. Matthew and chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and let us pray. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts this morning. As I said, the entrance of your word brings illumination and understanding to the simple-hearted. And so with simplicity of hearts, we approach your word and we receive the engrafted word as it is written this morning, which is able to save our souls. Thank you for helping us to see clearly that which you have prepared for us to see this morning. And also, we ask that you would help each one of us to mix faith with that which we hear, so that we will not just be hearers of the word only, but that we will be doers of the word as well, so that our profiting may appear to all. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth, now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 11, we want to look at something very simple this morning. Again, because it's our Holy Communion service, it's a great opportunity for us to release our faith in Jesus Christ, the bread of life that came from the heaven to the earth to satisfy every one of us in all aspects of life. Because Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, brought redemption to us in the totality of our being. Remember, the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that man has three parts to his being. Man is spirit, soul, and body. And our whole spirit, soul, and body, Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, should be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, and when he rose from the dead on resurrection morning, everything was perfected for us. Because dying on the cross, as Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, in hanging on the cross, Jesus Christ became a curse for us, so that we may be redeemed from the curse of the law. And then when he rose from the dead on resurrection morning, he defeated death for us, so that we may have the life of God forever. Thank God you and I as Christians have eternal life. We live not just in this present world, we live forevermore with God. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so our consolation, no matter what we are going through in this world right now, our consolation is that Jesus Christ has already done everything for our total redemption. And we can release our faith accordingly and feed on him in the realm of the Spirit. The nourishment that comes from him will then be ministered to us as we approach him with faith. Remember, it's all by faith. The way of the kingdom of God is faith. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And Jesus has helped us to understand that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So Matthew chapter 11, we all know this verse of scripture very well. Verse 28. Let's read it together and just read it to the very end. That's 28 to 30. Let's go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Notice Jesus says there is rest available for those who come to him. So it does not matter what may be happening in the world around us. When we go to Jesus, we find something that we all need. We find rest. We find consolation. We find comfort. We find peace. We find well-being, all in Jesus Christ. And you and I have to understand that. So whatsoever may be happening in the world around us, let us always remember that Jesus is available to help us enjoy the rest of God in our own individual lives. So coming unto Jesus begins by inviting him to be our Savior and our Lord. And then from that point onwards, it requires a walk of faith, trusting in what Jesus has said to us in the Holy Scriptures. Because all of Scripture is about Jesus Christ. Bible says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh. And so every time we study the Bible and we find out what the Word of God says, particularly those promises that are contained in Scriptures that deal with our need on a daily basis, we have to learn to release our faith in those promises, knowing that in doing so, we are coming to Jesus at that point in time, because it's the Word of God. We are coming to him. And in coming to him, just as himself said, we can have rest unto our souls. You know, one of the greatest problems with us as Christians is not doing what God says we should do. Many times we read about these things in the Bible, we even memorize these scriptures, we quote them, but then we don't live by them. We have to learn to live by the Word of God. It's not enough to just read the Bible. It's not enough to study the Bible. We have to live by it. We have to apply the Word of God to our lives on a daily basis. If Jesus says, come unto me, no matter the burden I have in my life, no matter the yoke, then when I am burdened in any area of life, I should remember what Jesus said and simply act upon his word and say, well, I'm going to go to Jesus and take the burden to him, because he said I should come with my burden, I should come with my yoke and find an exchange in his presence. In other words, bring my burden and receive his own rest, because his own burden is light, his own yoke is easy, and in receiving from him, when I go with my own burden, he says I will find rest unto my soul. But, you know, instead of doing that, many times when we are burdened in any area of life, we just sit down and eat the bread of sorrows. We just want to sit down and pity ourselves and look for others to pity us. But that is not going to help us, because help comes only from Jesus. We have to obey his voice. He is the good shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. If he says, come unto me, when you labor and are heavy laden in any area of life, just go to him. Just go to him, particularly now that you are a Christian. You see, you have the capacity to come into the presence of the Lord at all times and in every situation, because you are now part of his flock. And so we have to remember scriptures like this, because you and I will need them every day of our lives as long as we are in this world. Why? Because we have a troublemaker that just causes trouble for everybody that is in the world. And Jesus himself told us about these things in John chapter 16 verse 33. Remember, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you so that in me you may have peace. Because in the world, you are going to have tribulation. You are going to have trouble in the world. But be of good cheer, because I have already overcome the world. So we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the way of peace, no matter what the trouble may be in the world around us. In fact, put your finger right in Matthew chapter 11. Let's just turn to the scripture I've just quoted in John chapter 16. Let us allow our eyes to behold this truth and register in our hearts afresh today. Because you see, if Jesus told us that we are going to have trouble in the world, we have to be prepared to know what to do in the day of trouble. We have to know that when trouble comes, Jesus has already told us how to handle the situation. We just have to take the trouble to God. And like that songwriter says, what a privilege we have to carry everything to God in prayer. You see? And we often miss out on that. We don't take the burden to God in prayer. We sit down, we pity ourselves, we look for people to pity us, but that won't change anything. Or we just sit down, worry and worry and worry and worry, and have sleepless night over the trouble. That's not going to change anything. Let us learn to obey the voice of the Good Shepherd and take the burdens to Him in prayer, and just cast our cares upon the Lord, as Bible says, because He cares for us. It does not matter what the need may be. If we have sickness, perhaps we go to the GP and the GP gives us a bad diagnosis and he says, well, I'm sorry, the sickness you have is an incurable one. There is really nothing we can do. You just have to manage with it the rest of your life. Well, don't let that burden you. Don't let that discourage you. Remember that Jesus says, come unto me when you labor and are heavy laden. That's a burden right there. Because the GP just said the sickness is incurable. That's a heavy burden on the soul. That means I'm just going to live with this the rest of my life. That's a burden. And if I just accept that and I sit down and I keep meditating on the word of the GP, the more I meditate on those words, the more the devil reinforces the lie and helps me to believe the lie instead of the truth, because I'll keep on believing my sickness is incurable because the GP said so. There's nothing I can do. I just have to live with it the rest of my life. But that's not the truth. If I come to the word of God, I'll find out that with God, all things are possible. The things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. So if man says it is impossible, I have to believe God and believe the report of the Lord, as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53, I have to believe the report of the Lord that with God all things are possible. Jesus already has been wounded for my transgressions. He has been bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace is already laid upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And as Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was here on earth, he went about all Galilee and everywhere, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There was no sickness that Jesus could not heal. If the people came to him with faith, they received healing. It didn't matter what their condition was. He even raised the dead back to life. He healed the lepers. He opened blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He healed the woman with the issue of blood, who had been to all the doctors in her day and spent all her money. And for 12 years, she was in that condition. No doctor could help her. Actually, her condition grew worse, and yet they kept taking her money. If you don't know that that's a heavy burden, you need to meditate on that scripture again. This is somebody who is sick, and she's spending a lot of money trying to get healed. Now they are collecting her money, but they are not helping her. She's actually getting worse, and that's adding more problem to her condition. I'm losing money and they are not helping me. That's a heavy burden on the soul. But thank God that woman did not allow the burden to hold her down. She heard about Jesus and she made up her mind that she was going to go to Jesus and receive what the doctors could not give to her. And that's what you are now have to do. Man cannot really help us at the end of the day. So there is no point allowing what man says to discourage us. We just have to encourage ourselves in the Lord and take our burdens to Jesus, just as he said. John chapter 16. Thank God the truth is in Christ. Jesus cannot lie. Now in verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Isn't this a wonderful encouragement? for you and I, while we are living in this present world, faced with all the troubles that the enemy is causing everybody, the devil has no respect of man. He has no respect to anyone. He just causes trouble for everybody. Even while Jesus was here, he caused trouble for him. He caused trouble for all the apostles of Jesus Christ. He caused trouble for everyone. Particularly, if you decide to follow Jesus, the devil is going to cause you plenty of trouble. You just have to understand that. That's why Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm telling you these things ahead of time so that you can be prepared when the enemy brings troubles against you because you are my disciples, just as Revelation chapter 12 says. The very last verse there says the devil went about causing trouble and really setting himself in opposition to the people that hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's making war against us. Now we have to understand these things and be ready to do what Jesus himself told us. That's why I said these things I have spoken unto you. In other words, I'm telling you ahead of time so that you can listen carefully to what I've said and learn to apply my instructions to your life when trouble comes, because you are going to have trouble in the world. And those early apostles followed the instruction of Jesus. That's why you and I are Christians today. If they had not followed the instructions of Jesus, they would have failed and there would not have been Christianity today, because they were the ones that received the baton, so to say, from Jesus and ran the race and passed the baton to the next generation, and it's been passed down to us and we are holding it in our own generation. We should be able to pass it also to the next generation. It's all by faith. So they listened to what Jesus told them. And when persecution began to rise up against them, all kinds of sufferings that they went through just because they were doing what Jesus told them to do. They didn't go through sufferings because of their own sin. They were being, you know, oppressed by the devil because they were obeying Jesus. They learned to do exactly what Jesus told them. And they all gained the victory in every situation. They lived by faith, Bible says, and they died in faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You see, you need to read that passage of scripture in the old chapter and find the encouragement. Look at people who went through so much walking with God, but they kept the faith till the end. And now they are all in glory, forming a cloud of witnesses or a cloud of spectators to cheer us on in this race of faith that we have been called to run in Christ Jesus. Faith always wins. Faith is never defeated, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's just for you and I to learn to live by faith. That's all. That's the heartbeat, to get our minds to agree with the word of God, to choose not to lean on our own human understanding, to acknowledge God, as Bible says, in all our ways, particularly when the evidence before us is saying something else. The GP just said, I have incurable disease. He has done all the tests. Now that is a strong evidence. How am I going to believe that I'm healed when they can't heal me? Well, you shouldn't be looking to man for healing anyway. You should be looking to God, because man has no power to heal you. Even the doctor cannot heal you except he uses medicine that has components that God created. They have to take herbs or something, a substance that God created, in order to formulate the medicine that they give to you to help you. You see? So we must not look at the circumstantial evidence. Remember, even Father Abraham in Romans chapter 4, Bible says, before he could receive the promised child Isaac, we are not talking about Ishmael, that he produced of his own effort and God rejected, but in receiving Isaac, Bible says, he did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith. He did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, because Sarah was too old to have a child. He did not even consider his own weak body when he was old. He simply focused on what God said, so shall thy seed be. And because of that, God was able to come on the scene and made an old woman who said she couldn't have a child anymore, 14 years after she said that, God made her to become the mother of Isaac. Because Isaac was born 14 years after Ishmael. You can see how God works. A woman that told her husband at least 14 years ago, sorry, I can't give you a child anymore, now becomes the mother of Isaac all through faith. That's what we are talking about. Man says it is impossible, but God says all things are possible if you can believe. If you can believe, that's what the Bible says. Mark chapter 9 verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So it's just for us to be able to believe, to spend quality time in the word of God, to allow our hearts to be assured based on the word, not based on our own human reasoning, not based on what we are seeing, because we walk by faith and not by sight. We just believe the word of God and stand our ground in that word and look to God to prove himself faithful. Because he is faithful who has promised. Bible says he is faithful who has promised. And he's the one who will do these things anyway. Not any man. You and I don't have the power to do any of these things. In fact, let's also turn quickly to one of the scriptures I quoted earlier this morning in Thessalonians. You see, scripture upon scripture, we find God saying exactly the same thing. You know, we just have to study the Bible and get our faith and our understanding from the Word of God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pause before we read the next verse. You see, this is God's desire. This is God's will for us. That spirit, soul, and body, we are kept in perfect shape. And that means when sickness comes against my body, for instance, I can stand upon this scripture. I can say, well, God does not want my body to be full of sickness. Even in coming home to him, he wants my body to be perfect in coming home to him. You see, quite a lot of those patriarchs that we read about in the Bible, they just went home when they were old. They just left here and woke up on the other side with God. They didn't die with sickness and all those things. Many of them, we know a few of them, well, Bible says they were sick and then unto death. But quite a number of them, Bible says, they just grew old and lived out their days here and died in a full, ripe old age. So God wants our spirit, soul, and body to be kept in good shape, even unto the time when we see Christ. Now look at verse 24. Let's read that together. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So who is going to do it? Only God. And God is faithful to do what he has promised if you believe. The only thing that can stop God from doing what he has promised me is my unbelief. Unbelief will always hinder God from working. Even Jesus in his hometown couldn't do mighty works because of the unbelief of the people. Not because he didn't have the power to do it, but because the people had unbelief, so he couldn't help them. And without faith, Bible says it is impossible to please God. So my unbelief will hinder God. And unbelief rises in me when I lean on my own human understanding. Oh, I'm too old to have a child. Therefore, there's no way the promise of God can be fulfilled. Okay, my husband, take this, my handmaid. She's a young woman and she'll be able to give you a child. That's human understanding. That's human understanding. But when we lean on God's word rather than our own human understanding. I don't care whether I'm too old or not. If God says I'm going to have a child, then he knows how to do it. Because God is not natural. God is supernatural. God is not limited by the things that limit us as man. He is not man. He is God. He is the creator of everything. He has the power to make something out of nothing. And no man has the power to do that. There is no man. There is no scientist in this world that can create something out of nothing. They have to start with something. They even call the tiny thing atom. You see, they have to find something that God created and work from that thing. They cannot just manufacture something out of nothing. They have to take something from the earth that God already created and then make whatever they want to make from that thing. Because no man can create anything. Only God is the creator. God created everything we see today out of nothing. Because he alone has the power to do that. And that is the person we are dealing with. And that's why we have to take the limits off of him and not reason with our human mind when we are dealing with God. We just agree with his word. We just say, well, I don't know how you are going to do it, oh God. But I'm just going to believe you anyway because I know you are faithful to keep your promises and you know how to do what you have promised. So I'm just going to allow you to do it. Even if it takes long, I'm going to wait patiently for you to do it. And that's another aspect of our walk of faith that we often stumble at. Because, okay, I say I believe God. Now I want the miracle quickly, right now. So if it doesn't happen right now, then I will doubt God. No, forget about the time. God is not limited by 24-hour clock like you and I have. God is eternal. He lives outside of time. He created time for the earth, for man. But he lives outside of that realm. A day with God, Bible says, is like 1,000. You see? So you and I have to understand that when it comes to walking with God, God knows what he's doing and he knows the right time and timing to perform what he has promised unto you. Just believe him and wait patiently for him to do what he has said. Don't be like Father Abraham. Oh, it's getting too late now. I'm getting too old. Oh, and Sarah, oh, I can't do it anymore. And then Ishmael comes along. Let's wait patiently for the Lord to perform his word. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. He never fails. So also, before we go back to Matthew, and then I'll highlight a few points before we pray this morning. Let's turn, while we are close to Thessalonians, let's turn to Hebrews. You see, again, as I said, scripture upon scripture, we find exactly the same thing. Hebrews chapter 10, we have to understand the nature of the God we serve. He is faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful. We must not think of him like we think of one another. You know, many times as men, we are not faithful. There are many of us that are not faithful. But God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's his nature. He just must be faithful in every situation. Verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. You see again? God is faithful to keep his promises. We read exactly the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24. Faithful is he that promised, who also will do it. And Hebrews is telling us exactly the same thing, that God is faithful to keep his promises. The problem is, are we faithful to believe the promises? Because God is faithful to perform it. And he's waiting on us to believe. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. So are we willing to please God by our faith, or do we want to lean on our own human understanding and focus on the evidence before us? Oh, the evidence is that I'm too old to have a child. Oh, the evidence is that the doctor said my sickness is incurable. Well, the evidence is I have pain in my body and the pain has been there for many years and is refusing to go. Therefore, the doctor is right because he said it is incurable and truly I can feel it myself. It has been there for long. If you consider evidences like that, you will never be in faith. You just have to take your minds and your eyes off of the evidence before you and focus them on the word of God, which is the truth. The word of God is the truth. You see, all the things that are written there, they are written for our learning. Bible says we can find encouragement from the word of God. We can find instruction in righteousness from the word of God. We can find guidance in the word of God, because it is the light to our feet and the light to our path. Is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. No one walking by the word of God will stumble in the darkness of this world, because the word of God will enlighten ourselves, show us the way to go, which is the way of God that will always give us the victory in every situation of life. And that is what we all need. Now let's go back to Matthew. Again, Jesus said we should come to him. So there is an open invitation to everybody. When Jesus said those words, he said it to everybody. Everybody. And just as he's still saying it today to all the world, come unto me. Because God sent Jesus into this world to die for the sins of all of mankind. Not just for your sin and my sin, who are already Christians. Jesus died for the sins of those who are still to believe him right now. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The reason why they are still sinners is because they have not accepted Jesus. The moment they accept Jesus, they are translated from the nature of sin into the nature of righteousness. It is the operation of God. Because God already did the works from the foundation of the world. He settled it, and all that anyone needs to do is to believe personally that Jesus is my Savior. I receive him into my life to be my Savior and my Lord. And instantaneously, God in the realm of the Spirit takes them and removes the heart of sin from them and puts a new heart in them. Instantaneously. So sinners are sinners today because they have not received Jesus Christ. That's all. It's as simple as that. So when Jesus said, come unto me, he gave an open invitation to everybody. So that's the first step, as we said earlier on. The first step is to come to Jesus and accept him as your Savior and Lord. Now, the next step is, after you have accepted him as your Savior and Lord, you learn to go to him, who is now your shepherd in every situation, because he alone can help you. He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. You are the sheep. It is the shepherd's duty to look after the sheep. So when you have any burden, Jesus said, come to me. So we have to understand that come unto me there is in two levels of application. The first one, of course, is to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. Because you cannot take your burdens to him when you are not sheep of his pasture. The first thing is become sheep of his pasture through faith in him as your Savior. And now that you are part of the sheep, now learn to go to the shepherd with all your burdens. Not some of them. All of them. All of them. Anything that is a burden to you, just cast it upon the Lord. Don't carry it yourself. That's why he said, come unto me. Again, Matthew 11 verse 28. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the salvation that is in his name. Hallelujah. We all have the redemption in him. Bible says, in him. It's all about Christ. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye, all, everyone, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. In other words, you are burdened by any burden of life. Jesus said, come unto me. And he has given us an assurance that when we come to him, we are not wasting our time. He will give us rest. He will take the burden and exchange it for rest. But as I said earlier on, how many of us are obeying the voice of the good shepherd when we have burdens? How many of us are taking it to him? Many of us are like Father Abraham, the father of faith, who took the burden upon himself initially and produced Ishmael. But those things are written for us to learn that the right way is not to go the first way Abraham went with Hagar, but to go the second way he went when he learned from his mistake, which is to stay in faith and patience until God performs the promise. That's the way we should learn. And that's the way we should walk. Okay, Jesus said, I should come with my burden. So I'm going to take the burdens to him. Someone says, well, I've taken it to him, but the burden is still there. Well, you walk by faith and not by sight. Stop looking at the body, because the devil is the one trying to take the word from you by making you focus on the wrong thing. You have to be looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The devil is a thief. He steals the word from us. Remember how Peter, when he focused on Jesus, and Jesus said, come out of the boat. Bible says Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. The storm couldn't stop him because his focus was on Jesus. He was acting in faith on Jesus' word, come. And so he stepped out in faith and the water held him up. The storms could not sink him. But then Bible says the next moment, you know, the devil got him now. The devil put an arrow of thought in his mind. Peter, what are you doing? Remember, you're a fisherman. You are not a fish. It's only fish that can do what you are doing now. You are a fisherman. You are going to die. Ah! And Bible says, suddenly he was afraid. And he looked at this storm and he began to sink. And Jesus rebuked him and said, why were you afraid? In other words, why did you take your eyes off of me? Why did you allow another thought in you instead of the word I said to you, come? You were doing right a short while ago. How come you missed it now? And that's what happens to every one of us. When we take our eyes off of the word of God and we look at the situation, we will sink. The situation will be too big for us to handle. It will overwhelm us. It will discourage us. It will burden our soul and get us to be in a mood that we shouldn't be in. Remember in John 16:33 that we read, Jesus said, be of good cheer. That is the condition we should be in at all times. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Forget about the burden. The burden will be there. The trouble will come your way, Jesus said. But don't take the burden for yourself. Bring it to Jesus. Take it to him with faith in your heart in the place of prayer. We have to pray the prayer of faith. For instance, I can, with my burden, go to Jesus acting upon this verse of scripture. That's what faith is all about. I'll just sit down with him one-on-one and say, Jesus, you are my shepherd and I'm your sheep. You said I should come to you when I'm laboring and I'm heavy laden in any area of life so that I can find rest unto my soul instead of allowing the burden to crush my soul. And so I'm obeying you, Lord Jesus. And I've brought my burden, this burden that I have in this area of my life, I've brought it to you. And I thank you that you take it from me and you give me your rest as you promised me, because I know that you are faithful, Jesus. You cannot lie. How you are going to do it, I don't know, because that's not my own duty. It is your duty to do it. But my own duty is to believe you that you are faithful to do what you have promised. So I believe that you are going to take this burden from me and you are going to give me the rest that you said you will give to me. And I'm thanking you right now for the rest. In the name of Jesus, I receive the rest unto my soul and I praise you, Lord. And the prayer is finished. Someone said, ah, with that big problem, you only prayed a few seconds. Don't you understand your problem is big? Well, all the rest will be flesh. Faith is the key. I stand on the word of God. What I should be doing now is thanking the Lord every day. I should be thanking him and praising him until the burden goes. That may take a process of time, but I'm not worried about it anymore because I've given it to him. You see, when you have given something to somebody, it's no longer in your hands. You have to understand that. So stop taking it back as if you are still the one having it. The moment you give it to Jesus, it's now in the hands of Jesus, no longer in your hands. You just rest and wait patiently for him to bring to pass in the physical what he has already done for you in the spirit. Because the moment you pray, at that point in time, Jesus takes it from you because you have come with faith. Now, the manifestation of what Jesus has done may take a process of time. It may take days. It may take weeks. It may take months. It may take years. But you are not worried by the time anymore. All that matters to you is that you have obeyed the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus. You have taken the burden to him as he said you should do, and now it is no longer your burden, it's no longer in your hands, it's now in his hands. And let me tell you one thing. One of the tricks the devil plays is this. When you have burdens and you take them to God in prayer, and you say, Jesus, I give you this burden, in most cases, the thing will become worse. It will become worse in the physical. It's a trick of the devil to get you to doubt. Because the devil knows that you are now on the road to victory. He wants to stop you. So the sickness will become worse. By the time you go back to the GP, they will say, sorry, the thing is even very bad now. It's worse than before. It is all to get you to doubt. So you have to learn that to walk by faith, as Jesus said, is to convert and be like a little child. You know how little children are. They don't have any prejudice. They just believe whatsoever you tell them. For instance, if you tell a little child of a 5-year age, for instance, and you say, well, you know, it's a few months to Christmas. I'm going to buy you a new bike for Christmas. That boy just receives immediately what you've said. And he goes telling all his friends, I'm having a new bike for Christmas. As far as he's concerned, when Christmas comes, he's going to have a bike. Just because you said so. But you tell an adult, I'm going to buy you a bike for Christmas. The next thing the adult will do is look at you. Do you really have the money? His mind is calculating now. Do you have a good job that will be able to buy a bike? Do you have surplus in your account? I don't know whether this one can buy me a bike. See, that's the prejudice in the mind. But a child is not like that. He won't even find out whether you have the money. As far as he's concerned, he already has his bike because you said so. No prejudice. That's why Jesus said we have to convert and be like little children in order to enjoy the things of the kingdom, because our human understanding gets in the way. God said, but what I see is different. God said, but the GP said something else. Forget about what anybody else says. Just be like a child. God said, well, praise the Lord. I already have it then. Because God said so. That's all. And then you begin to declare it over your life. Oh, I have it in Jesus' name. I have my healing in Jesus' name. Oh, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Forget about what the GP said. The GP is just a man. God is God. He said, I'm healed. With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Glory, hallelujah. That's what you should be declaring. That's what faith is all about. That's what faith is all about. So Jesus says, come unto me. So if you don't remember anything else that I've said here today, just remember that word, come. Come. Come means he won't drag you himself. Come means you have to be the one taking the steps to go to him. He has given you an invitation, but he won't force you to come. So you have to choose to go to him. If you don't go to him, that's your fault. He has said, come. Come with the burden. But if you want to carry the burden yourself, then you can sit down and carry it yourself. That's your choice. But if you want to walk in the wisdom of God, take the burden and give it to Jesus. As I gave you the illustration a short while ago, the prayer doesn't need to be long. Because God is looking in the heart. It's an exchange in the realm of the spirit. It's by faith. Jesus said, you bring the burden. I will exchange it for rest. So that you can have rest to your soul. And we can find that that is very, very similar to what Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, that we all quote so many times. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, no matter the situation, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and the peace, oh God, that passes all understanding, we keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. You see again? You take the burden and give it to God in prayer, and God will exchange it for his own peace, his own rest, to keep your heart and mind while he is doing the work in the manifestation that you require it in this world, because he has already done it for you in the spirit. Now that you have asked, he's going to mobilize his divine resources to ensure that what is already done for you in the spirit now comes to pass in the physical. And that's where you need patience. You need patience. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, Bible says, with faith and patience. You see, we have to be followers. We have to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't hurry God up. Just trust him that he knows what he's doing. And God will never ever be late, because he's a perfect God. So come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor. Now, why do we come to him? Please get your pen and paper. I'll just give you some notes to take back home so that you can study and meditate, because when we are sharing on things like this, it is more than what we can share in the short time that we have for the service. But I want to give you some points to take home and meditate in, so that God will help you to broaden your understanding, because we all need to know how to come to Jesus. It's not enough to just say, okay, Jesus said come, but how do I do it? What should be going on in my heart as I approach God? Because as I gave you the illustration a short while ago, the prayer doesn't need to be long. Because if your heart is established in the truth, Bible says even before you call, God will answer. And while you are yet speaking, he will hear. And you will have a witness in your spirit by the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that is a done deal. Even though you can't see it in the physical yet, God will assure your heart it's a done deal. Even if it goes worse after that, don't worry about it. Just know that God is in control. You've given it to him. Just be patient. Just be patient. Just be patient. Now, first of all, in addition to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 that we have looked at, and of course the other scriptures we have looked at, write these other ones down and meditate in them. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There, Peter, by the Holy Spirit, after they, himself and the other disciple had been used by the Holy Spirit to minister to the beautiful man, the man at the gate called Beautiful, who was born lame. You know what is said in Acts chapter 4 verse 12 is that there is no salvation in any other name. In other words, there is really no help in any other name but the name of Jesus. Because there is no other name given amongst men here under the heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. That's why we have to go to Jesus, not to man. Man cannot help us. Jesus is the only one that can help us, because he is the one that God anointed and gave the fullness of the Spirit to come to the earth to destroy the works of the devil. No man could do it. No man could do it. From the first man, Adam, that the devil got to disobey God, no man could do it. Only Jesus. Because God anointed him and sent him on a mission and backed him up every step of the way. And Jesus' part was to obey the Father. Because if he disobeyed, as the first Adam disobeyed, he would have missed it too. He just needed to obey. As long as he obeyed, the anointing of God was upon him to do the works. So that's why we have to come to him. Don't go elsewhere. Go to Jesus. And then also John chapter 6 verse 35. And in context, please read it from verse 32 to 35. Jesus himself declared in verse 35 that he is the bread of life. He is the one, the only one. Not two. He alone is the bread of life. In other words, he's the one that will give you life, that will overcome what the devil has come to do. Because the devil, in John chapter 10 verse 10, has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus was saying that even Moses, that you all know was a great prophet sent from God, he did not give you the bread of life. Even though he brought manna from heaven, that was just temporary shadow of the real substance that is me. I am the real one. Moses himself told you that you should look unto me, that God will send. And John the Baptist came and prepared the way and said, I am he. So I am the bread of life. So when you have any need, come to me because I have the provision for you. That's the implication. It's not talking about physical food. It's talking about nourishment that will meet all our need. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, every need. You go to Jesus. He is the bread of life. Also, John chapter 11. Look at that also. And read it from verse 25 to 26. We all know that very well also. Jesus himself declaring to Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. And all that is required is that somebody will just believe in him. And then they will live. They will live. In other words, they will have life. Because he is the bread of life. And also Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Again, their Bible tells us that Jesus is the one who has passed into the heavens for us and is such a good high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has been tempted at all points like as we are. So he knows exactly what we are going through. That's why he said, come unto me. I know exactly how to help you because I have an experience of what you are going through. I've been through it already before. Someone says, but Jesus, how did you go through it? See, in the spirit, he went through everything that each one of us will ever go through in life. In the spirit, he did everything and concluded the victory for every one of us. That's why God cannot lie. Bible says he has been touched. I mean, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he has been through everything that every one of us will go through. That's why he died for the sins of the whole world. He carried everything on himself in order to give us total redemption. So that's why you can go to him. He knows exactly how to help you. He's been there before. And now write this down. No matter the need in your life, no matter the need in your life, always remember that Jesus Christ is the bread of life that can meet that need. Always remember. Don't ever forget. Jesus is the bread of life that can meet the need. Next, write this down. See, that's why you must come to him, because he is the bread of life that will meet your need, no matter what the need. Secondly, the reason why you must come to Jesus is because Jesus is the one, the only one, whom God anointed. That's God the Father, anointed and sent into the world to destroy the works of the devil. You see, every trouble, every problem in your life, the devil is behind it, not God. God does not tempt anyone with evil. So where is the evil coming from then? It's coming from the devil. Bible is clear about that. Don't say, well, God is the one tempting me, or God is trying to teach me a lesson by putting the sickness on me. God is not like that. God is a good God. Doesn't afflict anybody with any bad thing. Bible is very clear about that. That when anyone is tempted, in James chapter 1, he should not say, I'm tempted of God, because God cannot tempt any man with evil. Even the unjust, Bible says God makes his rain to fall upon them. He gives rain to the just and the unjust, because God is a good God. So the devil is behind all the troubles and the evil things of this world. So we have to understand that. That's why Jesus came to destroy his works, so that you that are in Christ, you have the opportunity to go to Christ for victory, because Jesus has already destroyed the works of the devil for you. And if you come to him, like he said, he knows how to help you have the victory in exchange. So in front of that statement, please write these scriptures and look at them. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, that's what Bible says there exactly. For this purpose, Jesus was manifest. And then also Colossians chapter 2 verse 15, Jesus has already spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. Now, that brings us to the most important question this morning. How then do we come to Jesus? We already see that we must come to Jesus because of those two basic truths that we have shared. That, okay, number one, the reason why I must come to Jesus is that no matter the need, is the bread of life. Number two, the reason why I must come to Jesus is because he's the one that the Father, God, anointed and sent into this world to destroy the works of the devil so he can give me the victory. Now, how do I come to him? Please write this down. So, how do I come to him? Now, as we write this down, turn with me, turn in your Bible so you can quickly put your eyes on it. The last scripture I mentioned a short while ago, Hebrews chapter 4, turn there with me, because that's where we are going to focus as we answer that question. How do I come to Jesus? We have to understand the right way to come. If we don't come the right way, we'll never get to him. There's always a way that leads to where we are going. If you go the wrong way, you end up the wrong place. But if you go the right way, you get to where you are going. Those of you who drive, you know that. So if you head on the wrong road, you end up in the wrong place. So you have to get on the right road, and then you'll be able to get to where you are going. So how do we come to Jesus? Bible tells us here in a nutshell, and then we'll break it down for you when you're studying your note to understand how to apply this in your heart and in your mind as you are praying. Let these thoughts be in your mind. And that's what prayer is all about. It has to be the prayer of faith, coming from a heart that understands the truth. That's the way. That's the way. There's no other way. Now, Hebrews 4, from 14 to 16. Let's read together first. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. I love that. There's help in the time of need. But Bible says here that we have to come. You see, Jesus said, come unto me. And Bible is teaching us how to come to him. We have to come boldly. Say to yourself, I have to come to Jesus boldly. Because if I don't come boldly, I can't get to him. See, that's the key. We just have to know the way. The way to do it, and then we'll end up in the right place. Jesus said, come boldly. He didn't say, come doubting. No, he said, come boldly. Boldly, what does that mean? He's talking about boldness of faith. Boldness of faith and assurance that Jesus will always do what he has said he would do because it's the truth. So I'm bold to go to Jesus for help in the time of need because he said I should come and I know he will not fail me. That's what it's all about. You may not look much on the outside, but on the inside, let there be boldness. Be like David, who was little on the outside, but he was bold on the inside because he had faith in God. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of God, the armies of Israel? Yet King Saul and all his elder brothers, the elder brothers of David, and all the army of Israel, all of them were running from one man, one giant. When the giants will come on the hill in the morning and say, give me a man to fight with me, all of them with their weapon will run into hiding. And yet they have weapon. Because they didn't have boldness of faith on the inside. But David, little boy, had no weapon on the outside. But he had the weapon necessary on the inside, which is faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the shield wherewith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16. If you don't have faith, you can't stop the devil. You just can't do it. So David came on the scene and said, well, who is this one? This uncircumcised, this giant, he looks big on the outside, but he's nothing because he has no covenant with God. We are covenant children of God. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. Why are you afraid of him? Go in the name of Jesus and face him, and you'll find out that the giant is nothing. And we all know what happened. Boldness of faith in David brought the Goliath down. And boldness of faith in Jesus will bring all your troubles down. In Jesus' name. So we have to go with boldness. Now, four key things when we are talking about boldness of faith. So this should just be, I'm highlighting this for you to know how to think as you go into prayer. Because the heart we bring into prayer is what determines whether our prayers will be answered or not. It's not the prayer itself, it's the heart, because God is looking in the heart. He wants to find faith. If he doesn't find it in the heart, all our talking is just a waste of time. Number one, boldness of faith in the person of Jesus. Because of time, I won't be able to look at the scriptures with you now, but I'll give them to you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. So, boldness of faith in the person of Jesus. In other words, you know who Jesus is. You know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. So, when I go to him, he has the nature of God and the power of God to help me. So, I'm not wasting my time. I'm going to the anointed one, the Son of God himself. Who can stop him? When he is God himself. Who can stop God? The devil will tremble to his boots when he knows that God is the one fighting for me. So, Matthew 16, 16 and also John chapter 11, verse 27. Number two, boldness of faith in the redemption that Jesus has already finished for us. The work of redemption is already finished. So you have to know that the work is already done. So when the devil begins to say to you, how do you think you are going to get the victory in this situation? How do you think you are going to be healed of this sickness? You just tell the devil, devil, shut up! I'm not trying to be healed. I'm already healed. Jesus healed me over 2,000 years ago. You are a thief. You are trying to steal my health by putting sickness on my body. I resist you in Jesus' name. I will not allow sickness in this body. I will fight the good fight of faith and gain the victory. That's the right way. You are not, God is not trying to heal you. He already healed you. You are just to receive it by faith now. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has already redeemed us, Bible says, from the curse of the law. And then in verse 14, Bible says, we have to receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. It's just faith now. Because it's already done in the Spirit. But you want it to manifest in the physical. So you have to have boldness of faith in the redemption work that Jesus has already finished for you. In front of that, please write Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Number three. Boldness of faith in the authority of the name of Jesus. That's why you are going to Jesus. As you are going to him, you are thinking in your mind, I'm going to the one whose name is above all names. Devil, you are in trouble. You come to the wrong person. Because when I go to Jesus, my elder brother, I may not be able to handle you, devil, but my elder brother. You are in trouble because I'm going to my elder brother who already knocked your brains out. My elder brother who already bruised your head. My elder brother who crushed you and defeated you. And then the devil begins to say, this one has discovered the truth. I'm finished now. You have to be bold about these things. You are not going in your name. David said, I come against you. When Goliath said, who are you? You don't even have weapon to fight against me. Who are you? This little rat. You don't know. You don't know anything. I'm coming against you in the name. In the name. In the name. That's the key. In the name of the Lord of hosts. The commander of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You see, the devil, you have to let him know that you are rising up in the name of Jesus against him. You are not going against him in your strength, but in the name above all names. The name of Jesus. So you have to know the authority that is in that name and release your faith. In front of that, please write Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. And finally, number 4. You have to have boldness of faith in the fulfillment of God's promises in Christ Jesus. In front of that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said he came to fulfill scripture. In fact, let us turn to 2 Corinthians 1:20. You see, when we understand these simple things and we put them in our heart and in our mind, they are the things that help our faith to be pleasing in God's sight. Because Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. It is our mind that doubts and gets in the way of our walk of faith. And that's why we have to allow the word of God to sanctify our mind, so that we agree with the word of God. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 42, "Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God." You challenge your soul to trust in God because you know the truth. So the devil can't get you to believe a lie. That's the way it works. But if you don't pay the price to spend time in the word of God, you are going to be empty on the inside. You will be like Saul and all the armies of Israel running from the giant. You can't be like David unless you meditate. You see, David, we have to understand, he didn't just wake up one day to kill Goliath. He had been meditating. While he was keeping his father's sheep in the wilderness, nobody knew him, but he was always with God in fellowship, meditating, praising God, praying, and getting to know God personally. So when the time came, he was bold on the inside because he had experienced the faithfulness of God. He knew how God delivered him from the paw of the lion and that of the bear. And he knew that that same God can take care of this giant for him. See, that's the key. You have to spend time in the word and in prayer, in fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians. In fact, this scripture, you should keep it at the back of your mind every day of your life. It will help your walk of faith. There are some key verses of scripture that we must never forget. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, every promise of God in Jesus Christ is always yes, it is done. Not doubting. No. Yes, it is done. That's what amen means. It is done. If you can find that promise in the word of God, then that promise is in Christ, because Jesus is the word of God. Then you can release your faith accordingly and say, well, praise God. Every promise of God in him is yea and amen. It is done. Not something I should doubt, because it is done already. Glory be to God. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I don't care what the GP said. I am already healed. By the stripes of Jesus, it's a done deal in Jesus' name. So I come to you, Jesus, and I thank you that what you have already done for me, you help me to receive here in the physical. And you begin to praise him. The prayer itself has not lasted 1 minute. The praise can last as long as you like. Because you know the truth. You are thanking him now. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Oh, let's bow our hearts before him. Jesus. Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Shepherd, our Guide, our everything. Bible says we are complete in him. It does not matter what they need, maybe he is the bread of life. Right where you are this morning, I want you to talk to him. You know your need. I may not know. You know your need. But simply remember, Jesus is the bread of life. And every promise in the word of God in Christ, they are yea and amen. So what you need to do now is find out what the word of God says about that need. That's all. The need doesn't matter. What matters is what God has already said about it. You need healing? What has God said about it? You need wisdom? What has God said about it? You need protection? What has God said about it? Find out what the word of God says and release your faith in that to say, well, it is a done deal. For instance, we all quote Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Well, why don't you release your faith in that? That God will protect you from all evil. And Psalm 121, it will preserve you from all evil. And you're going out and then you're coming in from this time forth and even forever. Why don't you release your faith in that? So I will not be afraid of any evil tidings. I will go out and come in safety because Jesus, my shepherd, is with me. I'm not alone. Oh, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I praise God for my healing. Oh, I receive wisdom from God. Because when I lack it, God says I should ask of him. So I ask and I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Because all the promises of God in Christ, they are yea and amen. To the glory of God the Father. And then like we said, just begin to thank him and wait patiently for God to bring it to pass for you in the physical. It's done already in the spirit. It will come to pass in the physical. So go ahead and talk to God one-on-one on that basis. One-on-one. You don't need 5 minutes to even pray the prayer. So it's the prayer of faith. It's an exchange. Like Jesus said, it's an exchange in the spirit. You come with your body and you receive his own, which is rest unto your soul. You just give it to him with your heart. It's an exchange in the heart. It's faith. It's spiritual. Deep calling unto the deep. It is rolling the cares upon the Lord with simple childlike faith. I'm saying, Jesus said, I should bring it. I give it to you. And I thank you that you receive it from me and you give me the rest that you promised me. I receive your rest in Jesus' name. You take my burden. I take your rest, Jesus. Thank you for the exchange in Jesus' name. And then you begin to thank him. You begin to thank him. You begin to thank him. Just go ahead and thank him now. Thank him. That he takes care of the burden for you. Burden on your job. Burden in your business. Burden in your family. Burden amongst friends. Burden in any area of life. Give it to the Lord. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. His name is above all names. And all the promises of God in him, they are here in him. And while you are in that same attitude, just keep reflecting on Jesus. We are going to receive the elements of communion.